World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, the thing who told you that and why should you believe it? And somewhere along the line, somebody said that it's the winners who write the history, right? We understand that. And again, as I tried to talk a little bit about yesterday, my history, go back to I actually knew my great-great-grandfather. He died when I was 7 years old. I was in the room when he died. Most people don't know people that old, right? And so if we think back to that, grandpa died in 1963, I think it was. Maybe 61, might have been 1961. Grandpa George died. There wasn't any history. I mean, what was history? Books, or no internet. I mean, everything, right? So if we think about today, where we live today, and history and all that stuff, folks, we can't even get the straight story from a year ago. We can't even get the straight story from 2 years ago. We can't even get the straight story from 9/11. Still can't get the straight story. 100 years from today, what will they be saying about 9/11? Those of us who lived it will have been dead, so there'll be no more eyewitnesses to it. And so history is going to be settled, and probably history is going to say that a bunch of Muslims flew planes into towers. That's probably going to be the history. Go out all through the rest of history, that's what it's going to be, right? Well, what if that's a lie? What if it's not true? And I'm not here to try to question anybody's faith, but again, one of the things we have here is, who told you that and why do you believe it? And the more the more technology we get, the more we see, boy, have they ever lied to us. Now, it's almost without a doubt. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. It's almost without a doubt that the election in Georgia was stolen in 2000. You guys know that, don't you? You saw that? They've come out with evidence, with no doubt evidence that the election was stolen in Georgia. Now, are we ever going to win that one? Are we ever going to win that debate? Probably not. Because why? Probably 3/4 of Americans now believe that that was an honest election. Trump was crazy. Yada yada. Y'all with me? So if it's like that now, what would have been like 1,000 years ago? 2,000 years ago, what would have been like? The methods of communication, who would write those big books, the letter Paul wrote to the Ephesians, who saw that letter? I'm not questioning whether Paul wrote it. I'm not questioning that. Was Paul the only guy that wrote letters? Were there other people that wrote letters that maybe they just didn't make the top 10, they didn't get put into the book, all that kind of stuff? So one of the things I'm talking about here today is I felt really bad about yesterday's show because nobody was saying anything. And I guess it's a little bit of my ego and a little bit of my pride that the show's interesting. I don't need the reinforcement, although Chad's always getting on me because Chad's always saying, keep going. I don't need the reinforcement. I just want to know if I'm hitting home. That's all. You don't need to agree with me or like it, but are you hitting home? And I found out that after yesterday's show, when we were talking about mud flood and Tartaria, how many people in the queue had never really heard much about that? And the reason they weren't commenting is because they were getting hit in the face with something that they'd never really heard about. Are you with me? So because of that, I thought, man, I can't believe that. I gotta dig into a little bit more stuff here today. So here's what I want. Here's what precipitated it. Our daughters took all of our children, grandchildren, to see the movie David yesterday. Are you guys familiar with that? That's in the movie theaters. David, it's a cartoon type documentary on the life of David. And when it was good. It was well done. And when it was over, I said to my wife, That didn't explain David at all. If you didn't know the Bible, a cartoon doesn't make any sense. It was good, well done. But if you didn't know the Bible, you'd have a hard time grasping what was going on, who David was and all that kind. See, I thought it was just going to be a story of David and Goliath, but it wasn't. It was about David and the David being the shepherd boy and then David taking on Goliath and David eventually becoming king and yada, yada, yada. It was well done, but it was too much in that. It was too much. If they'd have just done David and Goliath and done a nice little cartoon of David and Goliath, that would have been really, really good. And then do a sequel off of that, how David became king. Yeah. Anyway, it got me scratching my head again, thinking, damn, we don't know nothing. We don't know anything. And, of course, that's coming off yesterday's show where we were talking about Tartaria and the mud floods, and most people scratching their head. They never heard anything like that. So I thought, I think maybe I'm going to jump on that again here today, okay? Now, here's our problem. And I tell this to George all the time, my good buddy George. George likes to fire hose people. George goes back and he digs in and finds out the different Bible translations, how they were changed, yada, yada. Goes and digs into all that stuff. And I say, listen, hey, George, Bible says foolish and unlearned questions avoid because they do engender. Look at my wife. Bringing me some coffee. What a woman. Thank you. Hang on, sweetie. Thank you. And so much of what we believe, we don't really know why we believe it. They just kind of told us, right? It's kind of told us. Bible translations have been changed. How about this? How many of you out there have heard of the Book of Enoch? Well, why isn't the Book of Enoch in the Bible? You say, well, Coach, it's in the Ethiopian Bible. Yeah, I know it is. Why isn't it in our Bible? In the Book of Giants. Book of Giants is in a lot of, by the way, they came out of the Dead Sea Scrolls. These were discovered later. So they couldn't go into the Bible because they were discovered later. But the Book of Giants and the Book of Enoch, and I mean, there's some stuff in that deep Dead Sea Scrolls that, now listen, may not have been totally, completely biblical, but were historical. Do you guys understand that? It was historical. Whoever determined that those books don't go in the Bible, okay, they had the reasons to do it, and who knows why, right? Remember, the winners always write the history. But the Book of Enoch and the Book of the Giants, and there's several other ones that really, really historical, pseudo-history that really kind of ties things together. Now, I would say most of you, including me, for most of my life, I grew up here in Licking County, Ohio, where we have what we call the Mounds, Mound City, I think. I'm going to get into that a little bit here. Stay with me. You're going to enjoy it. We were always told it was Indians, Hopewell Indians. Hopewell Indians built all these mounds. And, of course, until the invention of the Internet, when we began to see, wait a minute, you mean it wasn't just in Newark, Ohio? You mean it was all across Ohio, all across the Midwest? You mean into Indiana? You mean they were doing mounds clear out, and mounds out in through Pennsylvania? All these mounds? Well, this couldn't have been the Indians. Yet our history still calls it the Indians. You with me? You guys tracking with me? So I want to open your eyes to some things today that maybe you hadn't ever really thought about, okay? Let me start with it. This is going to be good. I hope it's good. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you right up front. Some of this stuff is not biblical, okay? Well, not biblically approved, whatever the heck that means. It's called extra biblical. So in other words, I could go to school right now, or you could go to school right now, and you could read the Warren Report of how John F. Kennedy was killed. The official report was the Warren Report. Or you could read some other non-official report of how Kennedy got killed. And it would be just as historic and just as true, but didn't have the stamp of approval that the Warren Report had. Are you guys with me? Eyewitness account? There's never anything better than eyewitness account. So much of what we've learned, hey, me, talking about me, I think I was probably mid-50s before I'd ever heard of anything about the Giants. Would anybody out there say thumbs up? Me too. Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. All the, you know, that, right? Jack and the Beanstalk. But the idea that the Bible talked about giants? You kidding me? I didn't know that. I didn't know that till maybe, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago. I got saved in 1978. Maybe sometime shortly after that. I was in church. Michelle and I were in a good church, whatever that means. I never heard a word about it. I never heard a word about it. Giants. Genesis 6, there were giants in the earth in those days and also afterwards, it says. Right? So I'm going to open your eyes to some stuff here that maybe, yeah, pull it up there just so you can see it. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of which they chose. And the Lord said, blah, blah, blah. There were giants in the earth in those days. Now, I don't know what you guys thought. I grew up thinking Goliath was a freak. Goliath is just a freak. But no. The Bible is full of stories about giants. Giants, Anakim, get into some of that stuff here. So it's going to be a little bit of a history lesson to open your eyes up to some stuff that maybe you guys have never seen before. So let me get going here in a minute. What I want to throw up there first. Whoops, I clicked on that. I don't know if I wanted to click on. Bear with me. Spencer, pull this one up there for me. Do you guys know this top 10 giants in America? Pull it up, Spence. Discoveries. Did you guys know this? This ain't made up. Here's the top 10 giants discovered in North America. The Serpent Mound. Some of you guys been there with me, right? The Serpent Mound. That's down in Southern Ohio. Michelle, the Crescent Mound in West Virginia. They're finding a 7-foot giant, a 7-foot-2 giant. The Iowa Mound found a 7-foot-6 giant. The Steelville Mound in Missouri found an 8-footer. The one in Miamisburg, why, they found an 8.15 giant. San Diego, California, they found an 8.4 giant. Catalina Island in California, a 9-footer. Beaver Lake, Ozarks, Arkansas, a 10-footer. And then Lampoc Rancho, California, a 12-footer, topped by West Hickory, Pennsylvania, where they found a 18-foot skeleton. You guys know that? You guys know that? How could you go to your church your whole life and not know this? And of course, here in Ohio, they called them Michelle, what kind of giants are they? Hopewell. They call them the Hopewell giants here in Ohio. Why? Hopewell's the guy who discovered them. Huh? Yeah, Hopewell's the guy who discovered the giants. And so they called them the Hopewell Indians and all that. Go ahead, Glenn, real quickly. I got some good stuff. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, you know, living in Ohio now for 5 years, I'm still learning things about Ohio. I just found out that Marietta, who was the first settlement in the Ohio River.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Because you know the Revolutionary War soldiers were given tracts of land for serving in the army, so they came and moved to Marietta. Well, there's a cemetery in Marietta. It's called the Mound Cemetery. There is a mound right in the cemetery where they buried a lot of these Revolutionary War soldiers. Just learned that yesterday.
Well, Glenn, most of the mounds in Ohio are where they buried giants. Nothing against Revolutionary War, that's not where I'm going right now. Okay, so let me throw some information at you, just for information. Pull up number 9 if you can. Okay, mounds in Ohio, mounds just here in Ohio. A video tour of the 32 Nephilim burial mounds in Ohio. Do you guys know that? Betty, you're in Ohio. Do you know that? This is 4 minutes, seconds. These folks, Nephilim ruins. Nephilim. Hey, Spencer, be on your toes here because a lot of people think, see, you start talking about this stuff, then people will turn you off because they think you're crazy. Spencer, just Google Nephilim. Definition of a Nephilim. What does it say? People will say Nephilim. They don't really know. Nephilim are mysterious. The Nephilim are mysterious. What do you mean mysterious? Giant-like figures from the Bible. Why are they mysterious? Resulting from the union between the sons of God, the fallen angels of Seth's line, and human women, described as heroes of old, men of renown. Folks, that's the Bible. that is the Bible, mysterious giant-like figures. Origins of identity, angelic interpretation, Sethite interpretation, literal giants, okay? So go back to where we were. This is real. This is real. 4 minutes and 46 seconds of the 32 largest burial mounds in Ohio. Go ahead. Hang on, Spencer. What were the Nephilim? Betty, what were the Nephilim?
Giants.
They use the term Nephilim. Where does it come from? It comes from the Bible. Fallen angels that came down, had sex with women, created Nephilim. Part angel, part human. Tall men, men of renown. Goliath. Okay? By the way, if you do go watch that David movie, it's amazing. They're all giants. They're all giants. Now, Goliath was really, really bigger than anybody else, but they're all big. Go ahead. So here's, you can read, you want me to read. Mass earthen mounds were constructed to venerate and worship the dead. Burial mounds represent the impregnated nave of the earth mother, giving new life to the souls within. Folks, this is history. Go ahead. They came to the burial mounds to worship the ancestors whose spirits were earthbound, paranormal doors that remain open today. Winchester and Adams County, there's a mound. Large burial mound in Athens County, Ohio. Burial mound overlooking the Ohio River in Aberdeen, Brown County. Brown County, address restricted. They don't tell you where it is. These are all across Ohio. Butler County. Clark County Burial Mound, located at the entrance to a housing addition. Large burial mound in Coshocton County, partially cut in half by the road. Burial mound located on the south side in Columbus, Ohio, Franklin County. These are all crosses. Square Earthwork Sun Temple and Burial Mound located in Worthington, Ohio, just north of Columbus. Burial mound still visible along traces of the original earthworks. Serpent Earthwork in Greene County, Ohio. Boy, I could tell you a story about that. Earthwork is the largest burial mound in America. This is the mound down in the Serpent Mound area. This is they did them geometrically. They lined up with the stars. Go ahead. We're running through this. I got more to show you. Gateway Mound, Sun Temple. We won't tell you where it is. They're all over. I can show you six of them around my house. Very large skeleton was removed from Burial Mound in Licking County. That'd be me. Hang on. Hey, go back there. Go back. Hey, that's right down the road from me. Go back. A little bit. Go back. Just a little bit, Spence. That one. Play that one again. What's it say? Very large skeleton. What? Hang on. A very large skeleton? Where is that very large skeleton? Anybody know where that very large skeleton is? Wouldn't you think they'd have an office there where you could go see this very large skeleton? See, folks, this all proves the Bible. They don't want the Bible to be proved. So here's a very large skeleton. Next one, go, Spencer. Folks, this is a stone's throw from where I live, this Jacksontown mound. By the way, built right beside, they built a church right beside it. Burial Mound, Licking County. Highest point in Licking County, where I live. Burial Mound's in Meigs County. Meigs is down in the south. What's this one? Another burial mound, Montgomery County, largest in Ohio. Indians building. Burial mound in Perry County. That's just down the road, just south of Licking County. That's my backyard. Perry County backyard. Bear depicting a bear. They found Pickaway County. Look at this mound earthworks down there in Pickaway County. Ohio's largest burial mound can be seen in the distance from this road. There it is in the background. A large burial mound in Pickaway County near Circleville. Got to build a house right beside it. The giant buried in there. Burial mound, Pickaway County. Another one. Okay, you can get it off. Trust me, okay? All over where we live. All over where we live. What's in there? What do they want to tell us? They were done by the Indians. The Hopewell Indians did it, right? All right, hang on. So I want you to see two things here. Pull up number four real quick. Did you know that there was, not part of the canon, a book called The Book of Giants? You guys know that? Did you know that? It's in the Ethiopian Bible. I got a copy of it upstairs. This is in the Ethiopian Bible. The Book of Giants. What does the Bible say? The Book of Giants is an ancient I can't even say that big word. Pigraphial Jewish text that expands on the belief of Genesis 6, account of the sons of God and the Nephilim before the flood. The flood came, why? Because they had to destroy the giants. That's why the flood came. The Book of Giants and Enoch 1 show similar plot line. When's the last lecture you had in your church on the giants? Book of Giants. Giants is about the sinful world before the flood. Enoch was, wow, really? Go to the next one. What about the Book of Enoch? What's that say? Book of Enoch. Spencer, I think, It's in the, what is the Book of Enoch and should it be in the Bible? Just scroll down here a little bit. Well, there, I'm going to put in a chat. Hang on. We read about Enoch in Genesis 5. Enoch is the son of Jared, who is the son of Mahalalel, is the son of Canaan. So we got the lineage. We got the lineage of these guys. These aren't made up people. We know who they were. Who was the son of Enos, who was the son of Seth, and Seth was the son of Adam. So Enoch was Adam's great, great, great grandson. And Enoch writes about the giants. They don't put it in the Bible, though. They don't put it in the Bible. At age 8, you guys know the story of Enoch, right? At age 65, Enoch had a son named Methuselah, who became the oldest man who ever lived. And afterward, Enoch walked with God for 300 more years and had children. Then Enoch was not. God just took Enoch. You guys are familiar with that in the Bible, right? Enoch didn't die. He was just translated or whatever. So Enoch, they took this book isn't in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Even though the mention of Enoch is in the Bible. So what happens in the Book of Enoch? The Book of Enoch is an ancient Hebrew apocalyptic religious text. There are three books of Enoch. There are contents discussing demons, giants, angels, and why the flood was morally necessary. Well, no wonder they don't want us to know that. They don't, why? Of course they don't want us to believe in creation and evolution. Of course they don't. No. None of the books of Enoch are included in traditional Christian Bible. I wonder why that is. Okay, I'm not going to read it all. Put it in the chat. Point number seven. I'm going to open it up here in a minute. Point number seven. Hey, Betty, say this for me, will you? I never knew any of this. You ever been to church, Betty?
Yes.
How long you been in church? Long time?
Over 60 years.
You never heard any of this?
No.
So who are the Bible's giants? The earliest mentions of the Nephilim, Genesis 6. I'm just going to scroll down this. I'm going to give you this. You can have all this stuff you want to. You can say I'm full of crap. You can say whatever. Okay. Genesis 6 and Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards. Terminology, the Hebrew term often translated Nephilim, comes from a root that can suggest the fallen of those who caused others to fall. So Genesis talks about the giants. Over the centuries, two primary interpretive views have emerged. One suggests the sons of God was angelic beings who corrupted the human bloodline, which led to, by the way, the flood. And another argues that the sons of God were from the righteous line of Seth, intermarrying with the line of Cain. Who knows? Regardless of the interpretation, the offspring was described as unusually mighty, thus giving us the term giants in many translations. I don't want to bore you. I don't want to just read all this to him. So then we have the post-flood giants, the Rephaim and the Anakim. Did you guys know that? Did you know that the Bible speaks specifically of the Rephaim and the Anakim? Rephaim, that too was regarded as the land of the Rephaim. The people were a people great and many and tall. And how about the Anakim? Highlights the fear that the Israel spies experienced when they observed the people of Canaan. We even saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. We seem like grasshoppers in their own sight. Folks, this is Bible. This is the Bible. Who can stand against the sons of Anak? Scroll on down. King of Bashan. The giant, Goliath, and the Philistine giants. The most famous examples, Goliath, right? His height was 6 cubits, span translated to roughly 9 feet 9 inches. Goliath. Goliath's kin is 2 Samuel 21. List other Philistines described as giant warriors, sometimes referred to as descendants of Rapha. Historical documents and archaeological notes, ancient writings, 1st century Flavius, Josephus, reference of giant-like people in the antiquities of the Jews. Archaeological findings claim of discovering giant skeletons consistent with young earth timeline. See, folks, they don't want you to believe the creation story. They got to do away with the giants. They got to get it out of there. The evolution, they want you to believe evolution. So the theological considerations was a symbol of opposition. Giants represented formidable foes standing against God's people. Human corruption and judgment. The mention of giants, especially Genesis 6, precedes God's judgment on the world. That's why we had to have a flood. Integration with broader scripture, the theme of giants aligns with the overarching biblical message of humans' frailty without God. Apologetic insights, reliability of the text, manuscripts, evidence from sources such as the Dead Sea Scrolls, Septuagint translation, Masoretic text. These measurements of wording can show minor textual variants, but the narrative's the same across all of them, okay? Boom, all down on the, so put this in the chat. Put this in the chat. Okay, now. Put number 8 up there. Number 8. It's a video, a little three-minute video. I'm just going to put it at the three-minute mark. I'm going to put this in the chat. Giants who once roamed America. Fact-based. Go ahead and play. Just a couple minutes of it, and then I'll put it in the chat. You seem to be spinning.
I've spoken of a race of giants that once... ...poem that is considered the first great work of literature. In the epic, Gilgamesh is a demigod of superhuman strength.
Gilgamesh is a giant!
He built the city walls of Uruk to defend his people and survive the great deluge. According to the Sumerian king list, Gilgamesh ruled his city for 126 years. Fragments of an epic text found in Maturin, the modern Tel Harad, relate that at the end of his life, Gilgamesh was buried under the riverbed. It is generally accepted that Gilgamesh was a historical figure, since inscriptions have been found which confirm the historical existence of other figures associated with him, such as the Aga of Kish. If Gilgamesh was a historical king, he probably reigned in about the 26th century BC. Where did Gilgamesh come from? In the Qumran scroll known as the Book of Giants, the names of Gilgamesh and Humbaba appear as two of the antediluvian giants.
Okay, put it in the chat. Watch it for yourself. It's about an hour, right? This comes in with what we talked about yesterday with the mud floods and the giant architecture and all the connecting dots there, okay? That's what we're trying to do here. Look, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. But it's connecting the dots to the... That's why we had to have the flood. That's why we had the flood. Because the seed had been poisoned. Come on in, Ray, real quickly.
Yeah, real quick. It's written in Psalms 40 and in Hebrews 7. Behold, I come in the volume of the books. There's volumes of books out there. This is one of them. Just because it didn't make it into the Bible, it's part of the volume.
Ray, it's at least a historical account, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's not ordained or anointed by God, but it's a historical, an extra biblical source.
And also, there's so many references in the Old Testament. Is it not written in the book of? Is it not written in this book? So they were familiar with it. I'm going to read just the opening statement in Enoch. The words of the blessing of Enoch, wherein he blessed the elect and righteous, listen to this, who will be living in the day of tribulation when all the wicked and godless are to be removed. This book is for the last days. We're in the last days.
We're in. Oh, man. Hey, is this good? Huh? Now, some of you tuning off or tuning out because you never heard anything of it and you think we're kooky. By the way, when you share this with your friends, they'll think you're a kook. It's just kind of the reality of it. They'll think you're a kook, right? Go ahead, Kay Brazil. Come on in. Or Kay Brazil.
Hey, Coach, I was wondering if you ever heard of female giants. Are they all dudes or what?
Great question, man. That's a great question. What the heck? I don't know. Great question. Maybe a scholar can help me out. They had to mate with somebody, didn't they? Now, here's what's hard for us to understand. How did angels mate with humans? I don't know. But the Bible's clear they did. It's clear they did, and they created a, oh, boy. Good question, Dan. Okay, hang on. Hang on. Pull up number 11. I'm going to give you a lot of evidence. You can put all this in the chart. You can look at this stuff later. L.A. Marzulli. Now, here's one of the things I'm heading for. I want to have L.A. Marzulli and Fritz Zimmerman. I'll get to that here. We're going to do a conference here in Ohio in the spring because L.A. Marzulli told me, calls right where we live right here, Nephilim Central. This is where it all happened, he says. Just scroll down a little bit. I don't know if you guys are familiar with L.A., but he's got all kinds of videos. All kinds of videos on the fallen, the alien, all of that. All of that. The pyramids, walking among us. He's a good dude. And he will, if you're really interested, put that in the chat. Alien, it's all good stuff. Then, also, the expert, in my opinion, on the Nephilim Mounds, which is what I call them. They call them the Indian Mounds here in Ohio, is Fritz Zimmerman. Fritz Zimmerman lives in Indiana. And we spoke to Fritz, and he's going to come over, and he wants to go around and show us all these burial mounds, what we're in. Scroll down here a little bit, Spencer, look. Okay, look. This is Fritz Zimmerman. He lives in Indiana. This is his Facebook page. Don't pay attention to that guy walking. He's got more evidence on the geological formation of these mounds and the mound builder, all this stuff. Oh, he's the guy. Keep scrolling down there. What's this here? Picture, what was that? A Nephilim king and queen unearthed at Hopewell Farm in Chillicothe, Ohio. Really? They did that? Where are they hiding those guys, I wonder? Scroll on down. Somebody out there, I never heard of this. Hey, right there. No, go back up. Nephilim site near the Serpent Mount, Adams County. Been there. That's where Michelle. Oh, been there. What about the Jacksontown Mound? Going down. Keep going. See, look. Hey, folks. I'm sorry. Go back up. That shows. I can't explain it all to you. But see, all these things are aligned geometrically with the stars and hinges and everything. So L.A.'s, I'm sorry, Fritz is showing you how all those things were designed as a unit, not just a mound, okay? It's connected to something else. Go on down and see if they have the Jacksontown Mound. Or do I have that yesterday? Look at that. 7-foot Nephilim skeleton discovered by Harvard's Peabody Museum at Ohio's famous Serpent Mound. Really? Scroll down. 7-foot, what? 7-foot Nephilim skeleton measured by Peabody Museum, 1887, with a burial mound at Ohio's famous Serpent Mound. All hidden by the Smithsonian. All of it. Clinton County, more Nephilim mounds. Keep going. This is all on Fritz's homepage. He can explain it all. Wow. Okay. What do we do with it? Come on in. Somebody come in and join the crowd here. I put all these things that you can look at later. But know this, there were giants in the earth in those days and also afterwards. The Bible tells us we have a book, pull that up, the book of giants. Did you know, folks? Did you know that was, that's an extra biblical text? That would be number four, Spencer. The book of giants. This is the book of giants. And then, Spencer, if you would, click on the book of giants, what it says about today. Biblical mirror. Huh? You want to watch something? Watch this 29-minute thing. Just play a little clip, Ray. Ray.
Four cities rose higher than conscience. Before knowledge outpaced wisdom, an ancient text described a world unraveling. It spoke of corruption so deep it reached beyond humanity, of forbidden knowledge passing from the heavens to the earth, of giants, beings born from rebellion, who walked openly among mankind. And it warned that a generation ignored every sign until judgment followed. That book was called the Book of Giants. And what it says about our time is far more unsettling than most people are prepared to hear. There are questions that have lingered for thousands of years. Questions whispered in the margins of scripture. Questions buried not because they were false, but because they were too disturbing to explain. Ancient manuscripts speak of giants who dreamed, not dreams of conquest, but dreams of destruction. They feared judgment. They sensed the end approaching. They knew something humanity refused.
Folks, the giants were the result of fallen angels. You know, God kicked a third of them out, right? Kicked them out. Fallen angels. And they came down to corrupt the creation of man by, I don't know how it worked, angels breeding with women. I don't know what that would look like. I don't know how that works. But the Bible's true, or Bible explains that's what happened. And they created what? Giants. They created giants. This is real. Now, hang on. Don't go talking to your people at church about it because they'll think you're crazy. Because they ain't never heard anything about it. They haven't heard anything about it. But we've let you in on a little bit of scoop here today. All right, Betty, come on in then, Craig.
Just real quick, you did answer Dan's question because you said king and queen on that one site.
Oh. All right. See, I was taught, somebody could check this. I was taught that all angels were males. Did anybody else believe that, learn that? All angels were males. No female angels. And so when they show you those Christmas pictures of that soft little angel fluttering around, they were warriors, folks. They were warriors. They didn't run fly around in little dresses. They were warriors. Come on in, Craig.
Well, the reason, you know, why a lot of people know, not everybody knows, your next thing called, hence Lost Legends, right? Isn't that the name of the venue? Okay, Lost.
Folks, hang on. What Craig is saying right here, Nephilim Central, L.A. called where I live, Nephilim Central. What do we have over here? We have that concert venue. Legend Valley concert venue. They got dinosaurs over there. They got the most unbelievably evil stuff over there. Why? Nephilim Central. Go ahead, Craig.
So what they do is they come over and you have assembly of around 35,000 to 50,000 people, right? It's quite yep. A large crowd. Okay, that's a big venue, and they camp out. So why are they doing it? Okay, well, they do it around the fall equinox. Okay, right there should be a clue, right? September 21st. They're always there.
That's right, brother. That's right. You got it, man.
Right. And there's a reason why they're there for the equinox, because that's a very spiritual time. And then what they're also doing, have you ever heard of the, is it Isaiah 37 or Ezekiel 37, dry bones? How God's going to get dry bones back together? Well, that's what they're doing. They're basically doing what they think that God's going to do. They're going to reconstitute their fallen. And when you start to understand this and you read the book of Enoch in chapter 10, which I've spoken on here before, their punishment was that the fallen angels would have to watch their offspring kill each other, and that they would only live for 500 years. And it took 500 years to do that. Okay, so when Noah was born, a clock started, and for 500 years, they killed their offspring. That's why if you go to the Genesis 7 account, Noah didn't have children until he was 500 years old. Okay.
Wow.
That's very unusual compared to all of the people before him. Sometimes they waited to 70. Sometimes it was over 100. Sometimes it was 30. But for some reason, Noah did not have children for 500 years.
Wow.
Then there was another thing that was said. It says, your generations will be in there for 70 generations in the ground. They will be in 70. That's 4,900 years, Coach. And I've said this before. From the year that Noah was born, in the year 1056, and you had 4,900 years, you come to right after World War II. So now these are walking the property again. They have not been allowed to manifest, but they are already here.
Mm.
And you're going to live with this.
Men's hearts failing them for fear for the things coming upon the earth, right?
Right. And so that they're going to manifest. And so unless you're a child under Jesus Christ of Nazareth and under his shadow of righteousness, you don't really have a great defense against them. The final account hasn't flipped over yet. But when they're doing it, the people are summoning those entities when they come to your location. And I would call it, the best way to think about this, why they're networks. Okay, just like you have computer networks all around the world. You know how you have computer networks that are here and, you know, Europe and whatever, and they all connect and talk to each other. These locations are networks for them. And you just happen to be in one of the network areas.
I'm at Times Square, I think, right? I happen to be living right at Times Square, which also, let me throw this in there. That's why I think it was God ordained for us for Sky High to fall into our lap. Sky High is the highest spot overlooking this range where all these, oh my goodness, if we knew the truth about it, we would probably be afraid. Hey, Spencer, number seven. Just trying to give you some ammo here, folks. Now look, if you go start talking to your friends about giants, they're going to think you're crazy. Okay? I just Googled this morning. Who are the Bible's giants? So then I'm not going to read all this to you. I'll put it in the chat. The earliest mention was the Nephilim, Genesis 6. Hang on. Throughout Scripture, certain groups or individuals are described as giants. The Nephilim, the Rephaim, the Anakim, and Goliath, along with his Philistine warriors. These accounts appear in multiple Old Testament passages and highlight formidable opponents that God's people encountered. The following sections provide an in-depth exploration of these giants, who they were in the biblical context. Folks, this ain't some conspiracy theory. This is, what's this website, Spencer? Bible, what's the heck the name of it? Bible Hub. Mainstream Bible Hub. So who are the giants? Scrolling down, Spence. Okay, we've all been through this. So there it is. Put that in the chat. Going to tell you all who they were, yada, 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 yada. Which is the point I made when we went and watched David yesterday in the cartoon. It was good. It was okay. If you don't understand the history of it, you don't get it. You don't get it. Okay, cool. I think I got some more, but that's about I'm going to open it up. Come on in, Craig. You want back in, Craig? Come on.
I was just going to say that's why the movie Disclosure came out this year. Marvel has all these combative things of things coming down and stuff like that. Spielberg, he has another film coming out in June 6th, I think. It's about aliens. So it's going to be masked as something different. But the reality is it's really going to be tied into what you're doing here. Mm-hmm. And Tom Horn wrote this book. You know, he wrote several books. Zeitgeist 2025. Why did he pick that year? Well, it's very important. You know, if you listen to what Derek Gilbert said, 5 years ago when you guys were sitting there at the Indian Mound on the year 2020, that was a big opening portal. That Jupiter Saturn alignment of the Bethlehem Star, they called it, was the beginning of a new era.
Does anybody remember the person who called after we went to the Serpent Mound? Anybody remember the lady that called in the next day? Oh my goodness, that was, huh? Wow, wow, wow. Okay, hang on here a second. What was the great point I was going to make and then forgot what it was I was going to make as Craig was speaking? It doesn't matter. It'll come to me, and then I'll interrupt. Somebody, come on in. Come on in. But what? Hey, what do we do with this? What do we do with this? I live in the middle of this stuff. In fact, our capital, county courthouse is Mound Builders. They call it Mound Builders all around here. So we know they're here. But what have they told us they were? Indians. Hey, Spencer, Google real quick for me and see if there are any, what happened to the giant skeletons discovered in America? See what it says. What happened to the giant skeletons? Claims of giant skeletons in America are mostly folklore. Yeah, of course they are, mostly folklore, right? Sensation. Some genuinely large but normal-sized Native American remains, oh yeah, really, were found, some of which mysteriously vanished after local excitement. Really? So they found these Indians buried. No, I'm sorry. They found these giants buried. And what did they say? Oh, they're just Indians. And then they disappeared. Nobody knows where they are. We have, folks, the internet is replete with giants having been discovered. Where are they? What happened to the bones? Many, many early finds were sent to the institution for study, but were lost, discarded, or the records misinterpreted. Yeah, I bet they were. Anthropology has confirmed that no evidence exists for giant human species. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The Smithsonian, a persistent internet myth, of course, is the Smithsonian suppressed giant skeletons. Really? You do understand this, don't you, Chris? If they admit giants, they support the biblical story. You get it? You get what's going on? If they have biblical giants buried and took, can you imagine what it would be like to walk into the Smithsonian and see all those bones hanging there? You walk by and see those giants, those 8-foot giants. Except, whoa. Then you would get into the Bible. That's what I said yesterday about the movie David. If you didn't understand the history, it made no sense to you at all. It made no sense. So where did they come from? Where did the giants come from? I'm talking in circles. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Coach, I think our 16th president was a conspiracist, Mr. Lincoln, because he went to Niagara, Coach, and he wrote a speech about the giants and about the Nephilim in our nation. And I guess that was censored. I don't know, but...
Hey, Spencer, see if you can Google that.
Your point.
It's in Niagara Falls. Go ahead, Randy.
So, Coach, amen. Your point needs to be heard because everywhere. Because when you eliminate the narrative, the facts in the narrative that prove it, help you understand it, the people are lost. Thus, we see what we see. So, Coach, bringing back the points in the narrative that gives it conclusion, which is the giant in our nation and how the Smithsonian has covered it up. It was created to do that, Coach, by the way. And
amen.
Once you understand that, Coach, you're not, you might be called a conspiracist for a short time, but the facts are the facts. We have to tell the truth, Coach. Thank you.
Amen. So on Spencer Googled, it says giants at Niagara Falls usually refers to Abraham Lincoln's famous quote about giants gazing at the falls. Or it could allude to the local legends, of course, of giant skeletons found near the falls surrounding areas, sometimes tied to Native American lore. Folks, you understand this is all BS? Context. In 1848, Lincoln visited Niagara Falls and wrote an essay marveling at its timeless, stating the eyes of that species of extinct giants whose bones fill the mounds of America have gazed on Niagara as ours do now. So evidently he was a conspiracy theorist, huh? Come on in, Dave.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks, Coach. For us, what's important to understand about the Giants is because the Bible says in the last days it will become like in the days of Noah. That's right. So if, in fact, as Craig pointed out, and we're all, I think you're pointing to, is the fact that if they do re-manifest themselves.
Because they didn't die. They're angels. They're spiritual beings, right?
So if they physically re-manifest themselves, when we do see it, we won't be shocked. I was in the same thing in Mexico. Because there's a lot of volcanic activity in Mexico, the occult see that is that's coming from the bowels of the earth. That represents the homeland for them. And so there's a huge occultic population in Mexico, unfortunately. And so there's a lot of demonic manifestations down there that you'll never hear about. And I happen to physically see an object manifest itself above the city that was large. My friend was with me. We both saw it. We're both believers. We both saw it. And it was there, and then it was gone. And we both realized it was just a spiritual manifestation. So we weren't trembling. We weren't shocked. We both realized that's just a spiritual manifestation.
So, Dave, if we understand this right, folks, don't miss this now. Angels are what? They're non-physical entities. So angels had sex, demons. Fallen angels had sex with the daughters of men. Don't explain to me. Well, we know this. All angels are males. They had sex with women, created these spiritual beings, demonic spiritual beings. And where do they go when they die? Where do Nephilim spirits go when they die? Go to heaven? No. Do they go to hell? They're half human. Where do they go? And because we're looking at a spiritual dimension, which we don't really understand, that's why the Bible says men's hearts failing them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. We're going to begin to see the manifestation of some of these things. Yes, Ray, they're bound on the earth. They left their first estate. They're bound here. They can't get out. Wow. Mark Trump, come on in. Hey, hang on, Mark.
Yeah.
When's the last time? Anybody out there, tell me when they last discussed this in your church? Huh? No? Go ahead, Mark. Hang on, Mark. If we start to talk about this stuff in our churches, would this draw the excitement of young kids to understand what's going on? Go ahead, Mark. I'll shut up.
Go up in chat, and there is a reference to the Book of Giants, sacred text, CHR, Giants, HTM. All right, that text, Coach, talks about the fallen angels after they were destroyed during that time. They were demons. Okay, four angels came down and fought the Nephilim, okay? Right. And what happened is the demons had taken over humanity. They were actually possessing people. And it talks about the angels taking the demons out of the people during the time of the giants, okay? So you got giants and you got demons, okay? The dead ones, right? And some of the ones that lived kept going. And their enemies were these four angels that God sent to clean up the mess and the Leviathan. Mm-hmm. So think about this. God had creatures on this earth that fought against these things, okay? And it was their nemesis. God created creatures to fight the giants, another proof point, Coach. Why would he have had the Leviathan unless he would have had something for the Leviathan to fight? So the Leviathan that God created was not a demonic creation. It was made by God to fight the Watcher or the Nephilim, Coach. So there's a lot in that book of sacred text that, again, is never taught in church. Amen.
Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Somebody help me out here. Jack and the Beanstalk. Where did the Beanstalk lead? Didn't the beanstalk lead up into the heavenlies? And what did he find out when he got up into the heavenlies? Why, there was a giant up there, wasn't there? Wow. Paul Bunyan. Greg, come on in.
Hey, hold on. Hold on for a second.
I'm sorry.
I got coffee. I'm a Kirk. It's just dripping water because I don't have a cup in it. My wife's like, that's not good, Craig. Anyways, I was thinking about what I was saying. But anyways, Spencer, pull up the awakening. I put it in the chat. Okay, what's the awakening? First, notice the term of what it is. It's a giant.
Spencer, in the chat, pull up of the awakening.
The awakening. All right. Now, you tell me how this is art. And why is it doing in Washington, D.C.? Better yet, Coach, why is it out there in St. Louis? The Awakening Statue. Awakening Statue. Yep. It's you're a huge... Yeah. Why is that art? It's a 70-foot... It's 70 feet of someone coming out of the ground. They're buried, and they're exposed, like they're walking out of the ground. Why would anybody make a piece of art like that?
Wow.
Okay, ask your question. And why is it sitting in Washington, D.C.?
I tell you this, Craig, I don't know about you. If I saw a 72-foot giant, my heart might fail me for fear. Would anybody agree with that? That might be some reason that your heart would stop. Holy smokes, right? Men's hearts failing them for fear for the things coming upon the earth. Now, let me caution you again here. Somebody can jump in here if you want to. Let me caution you again here. If you start getting around a bunch of people and start talking about this, they're going to think you're crazy. You're going to have to present them some evidence, a video, feed them a video, whatever. Fine. Do some, say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Because first of all, if you talk about anything other than mainstream Christianity, the average Christian think you're crazy. Are you with me? You start talking about spiritual warfare, just even spiritual warfare with the average churchgoer, they'll think you're crazy. You start talking about demons, start talking about the devil to the average Christian, they think you're crazy. Can you imagine how they're going to react if you start talking to them about giants? And the burial mounds being filled with the bones of giants. Let me ask you something. Why can't we go dig those things up? Who makes those things sacred? What makes those things sacred? Do they have any evidence that those are sacred burial grounds of Indians? Have any evidence of that? Or somebody just assumed that they have? Or could it be the last thing they want is for you and me to know what's buried inside those mounds?
Amen.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. See, it's so vast, so much, so much more than we can even understand. So I'm going to try to put together L.A. Marzulli and Fritz Zimmerman, and we're going to do a mound tour here. And they're all around me. I'm telling you, I can throw a rock any direction and hit a mound. Land of legend. Can I tell you why it's a land? Why? Because it's right here is the first foothill of the Appalachian Mountains. So once they got to here, they had to go uphill. From here on, they could walk around, right? Walk around it. Oh, man. What a time to be alive. See you tomorrow.